There is a word from the Lord tonight. A good word and encouraging word. And Lord laid this on my heart to share it with you today. And I hope and pray that it ministers to you as it did me, getting it together. The book of Job, 16th chapter. There's one verse for your hearing. It's verse number 19. And you will find these words recorded in your Bible. Also now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. Father God, Lord, we just thank you for this time and opportunity to share this, your precious word, with this, your precious people. Father, I pray that I decrease, that they don't hear nor see me, but they hear and see you. Lord, I pray for salvation tonight. If someone is lost, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit convicts them to walk that aisle and give their life to you. And Father, I also pray for the strengthening of your saints. Some of us may be downtrodden or heavy laden, but Lord, we know that you are a comforter. Lord, we just thank you and we rejoice. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm says, come by here, my Lord, come by here. Come by here, my Lord, come by here. Come by here, my Lord, come by here. Oh, Lord, come by here. Somebody's praying, Lord, come by here. Somebody's praying, Lord, come by here. Somebody's praying, Lord, come by here. Oh, Lord, come by here. Somebody needs you, Lord, come by here. Somebody needs you, Lord, come by here. Somebody needs you, Lord, come by here. Oh, Lord, come by here. Somebody's lost here, Lord, come by here. Somebody's lost here, Lord, come by here. Somebody's lost here, Lord, come by here. Oh, Lord, come by here. Amen. Book of Job, 16th chapter, the 19th verse. And also, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. I like watching TV, but what I like most about TV are the commercials. That's the best thing on TV. You know, we got a lot of stuff on TV, but the commercials, they're entertaining. There's one commercial that comes on that I like. It's with Samuel Jackson. He'll get up and he'll talk, what do you have in your wallet? I like that commercial. I'm going to use that theme with this message. I'm going to use that theme of what do you have in your wallet. I want to ask a question tonight. What do you have on your record? What do you have on your record? You know the Lord is keeping tabs, right? Whether you do good or bad in the flesh, in this life, it's being recorded. You will be judged. Amen. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Amen. The judgment won't be as harsh as it needs to be. But you will be judged. And as a believer, we know that our sins are forgiven us. But there are some things that the Lord is going to judge us on, according to this book, that's going to determine your rewards. Amen. We can't serve God or try to live for Him without salvation. You know, we can't do that. A lot of good people are going to hell. A lot of good spirited folks are going to hell because of one thing. They got their heart. Their heart is in it, but their heart is not right. Need to be saved. And after you get saved, then the Lord keeps up with what's going on. It becomes a rewards issue. It's not a heaven or hell issue anymore. It's rewards. And I don't know about you, but I want what God's got for me. When it comes to that, when it comes to the rewards for being faithful to the Lord, I want to be faithful. I want what I want. I want it to be on my record. Amen. Every blood-bought believer needs to think like that. Because if you think like that, you'll become greedy. And when you become greedy, folks become saved. Amen. I want to win more souls to the Lord than Michael. It's the attitude that we have to have. I don't want to see anyone perish for two reasons. Because I don't want to see anyone go to hell. And secondly, I want what the Lord's got for me. A lot of rewards people are getting now on earth is only rewards they'll ever get. But Job said his is on high. It is on his record. What do you want on your record? Brother Job, my brothers and sisters, tonight we are very familiar with him, the plight of Job and things that went on with him. The Lord allowing Satan to attack him, and he had friends to come and talk with him and try to encourage him or discourage him. It depends on how you look at it. But Job stood faithful. Job's response to his critic was, "God is my witness. He knows all about me. My record is on high." It is true that God knew all about Job, his trials, his troubles, his headaches and heartaches. He knew all about his life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, from the beginning to the end. It is also true that God knows all about us. There are no secrets in our hearts that we can hide from God. He knows and he keeps a record on our lives. The Bible clearly teaches us that we will face Christ in judgment and we will be judged according to our works. So in our record on high or in heaven, God is keeping a record. So we must understand that everything that we do, God knows. Every thought that we have, God knows. If we're doing something that's in our heart to do, our motive for doing it, God knows. So let's just put it all on the table tonight, my brothers and sisters. There ain't nothing you can do that God don't know about. Your motives, you may fool me and the preacher, but you ain't gonna fool God. God is keeping a record. We may, our record down here that we're keeping, if we've, you know, got enough time to do that, our record may not be synonymous with God's record. Because we're going to think that certain things hadn't been revealed or God doesn't know. But God knows it all. And my brothers and sisters, Brother Job's record was in heaven. It was on high. And I do believe that his record really depended upon Job's character. God reveals some things that were on Job's record, in which it is, it's based in his character. The first thing that God said in Job 1 and 8, there was none like him in the earth. What a commendation from God. What a pat on the head from God. There ain't none out here like him. Job was so faithful to God, God bragged on Job. Can you imagine God bragging on you tonight? Would that be an awesome thing if God would sit up and talk about you in heaven? So just look at him. Boy, he's just faithful. Man. Then also, Job 1 and 8, he was a perfect and upright man. God was saying that Job was complete. He was mature. He didn't just know about God, he learned about God. He studied the scriptures. He made sure that his life lined up with the word because he wanted to please God. He was a perfect and upright man, a servant, a faithful servant of God. God also has some more things here. He was one that feareth God. You know, we live in a time where people don't fear the Lord anymore. They're not afraid of God. They're not afraid of him. They don't respect him. They don't respect the place of worship. They don't do any of these things. I saw this just last week. And this pastor that's been there for 25 years just ruined people's lives. Just no respect for this sacred desk. No respect for the Lord's house. No respect for the gospel. But Job, he feared God. And also, Job, he was a man that eschewed evil. This means that he shunned the very presence of evil. His feet was not swift to run to it. You know how some of us are. You know, we see something going on, we want to see what's going on. We want to go to places that we know we have no business going. If there's not a soul in there that you're trying to win, you don't need to go in there. Amen. Perception is everything with the world. The world looks, they're not concerned about why you're going in that bar. They're concerned about the fact that you're there. And you have to be right when you go, because people can see righteousness in you. And they saw it in Job. He eschewed evil and he refused to participate in anything that was dishonest and anything that may have caused his testimony to be in question. He did not want anyone speaking evil of his good doings. God gave him possessions. God gave him things. God gave him riches. God gave him a family. Job did not worship these things. He taught his family how to worship God. His possessions did not have possession of him. You know, sometimes we get blessed, we get all excited about the new house, the new job, the new car, the new everything, and we forget who gave it to us. We're so caught up with the gift, we forget about thanking the gift giver. It's easy to do when you are materialistic instead of spiritual. Of course, we need clothes. Of course, we need a place to stay. We need all of these things. The scriptures say, "For my God shall supply all of my needs." You want to know a little recipe before we move on in the text of how you want material things, you want God to bless you? The scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, this part they leave out, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, you ain't really got to pray about it. Just do the work. That's a promise from God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We waste a lot of time on, "Lord, you know I need another job." He know what? Lord, I need this. He knows what you need. He wants you to do the work. How many places of employment you ever went to work at and didn't get paid? How many people out here going to punch a clock and go work somewhere at the nuclear plant and don't get paid? The Lord said, I'm going to take care of you. And I told Logos last Sunday, if the Lord owe you, you ain't never broke. But if I owe you, you might not get it. God blessed Job with a lot of things and the spiritual welfare of his family. He was a family man. He took care of his children. He took care of things. Even though Job took care of Miss Job, Miss Job told him to do certain things that he shouldn't have done. You need to curse the Lord and die. Sometimes people in your own home, if you live godly, they just don't get it. Amen. They just don't get it. God blessed him with riches beyond. But my brothers and sisters, Job had crisis to come. Listen, even though God blessed him, even though God gave him, even though God put a hedge around him, so says Satan, God protected him. And my brothers and sisters, even in his crisis, he never charged God foolishly. We're talking about his record now. He didn't go, God, I blame you for this. God, you this and that. I had a young lady, God bless her heart, her niece was gunned down by a young man. And she blamed God for it. She's supposed to be saved. See, some things we just as believers should not even utter out of our mouth. And when the thought enters our mind, we need to ask God forgiveness in our mind. Because somebody is listening to the so-called saint complain about the Savior that saved them. So now you're misrepresenting God. But Job did none of these things. His response was, Job humbled himself and worshiped God. This great truth cannot be overlooked. Job did not fear God, worship God, and serve God for what he could get out of God. He did it because he loved him. And because of that, his record was on high. I asked you earlier, what do you want on your record? What do you want written right beside your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? What say ye about what you want God to write down? First thing, I want to share this with you, and we're going to be quick. First thing, I had an experience with God and was saved by his marvelous grace. I want that by my name. I want that in the record book, brother. That I was saved by the blood of Jesus. That I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I trusted what he did in his ministry on the cross. And he got up out of the grave with all power. I want that on my record. Then I had scriptural baptism. Yeah, that's important. You know, I don't know why people wonder, well, I'm going to pray about it, preacher, whether I'm going to get scriptural baptism or not. It's a no-brainer. If you're going to be a part of the Lord's New Testament church, you need to be scripturally baptized. Whatever the Lord did, I want to do. Isn't that what we say? We're going to follow the Lord in baptism? He was baptized, and if I'm a part of his New Testament church, it's a no-brainer. Ain't nothing to pray about there. I want to be on record that I was scripturally baptized. My testimony, how the Lord saved me, is on my record. I became a member of the Lord New Testament Church, the greatest institution on earth. There I met the best people in the world. Amen. And that I supported with my time, my talent, and my money. Pastor didn't have to pump and prime me to give. He didn't have to keep mentioning it, because it became automatic to me, because that's what God said do. We spent a lot of time trying to reiterate obvious things in our churches, in the Lord's churches, that we ought to get. Because we need to be out winning souls. I served you, Lord. I gave, not only did I give my tithe, I gave my time, I gave my offering, my voice. I don't want to just expire. I just want to give out. I want the Lord to just, I want to work till I just can't work no more. Told you I was greedy. When I became a member of the Lord New Testament Church, I supported everything. I supported with my time and my offering and everything. I also supported with my voice. I also supported when things the church wanted to vote on things to move on forward to the kingdom. I wasn't the one to say no. We can't do it. Ain't no such thing as you can't if God with you. If God be with you, He's more than the whole world against you. Now I told him over there at, across the way. I told him, I said, look, have you ever tried to put a pencil on the tide? You ever try to figure it out? You ever just sat down with a pencil and just wrote out, you know what you're giving, and then look at what all God gives you? Don't make sense, do it. It'll never make sense. Don't even hurt yourself trying to figure it out. It won't ever make sense to you. We ask the Lord about that when we get up there. Just do it. Amen. Then I want on my record, I worshiped and served God in and through the church faithfully, in spirit and in truth. And I witnessed to the lost, encouraged the saved. Want that on my record too? I encouraged the saved. Witnessed to the lost. Every opportunity is an opportunity to witness. God would open up channels for you. Don't be afraid of losing the job because you're witnessing. God gave you that, and He'll give you another if you lose it. You got to have faith. You got to trust Him. I want to have that kind of faith that doesn't matter what the consequences say or what the world says. I'm going to do what thus saith the Lord. I worshiped and served God in and through His church faithfully. You know, the Great Commission was only given to the church. Wasn't given to the Red Cross. Wasn't given to all these charities that, you know, that say God this, God that. It was given to the Lord's New Testament church. Amen. So if you got extra money and you want to give to charities, give it to your church. And I'm not telling you not to support certain things. I'm not telling you that. I don't want to be guilty of saying that. But if the church was able to do all of the things that these other entities are doing, you imagine the gospel message being spread in such a manner to where it's overwhelming? And see, these organizations have to be politically correct. Certain things they can't say. But we can say, Jesus, 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 oh, how I love Him, with enthusiasm, without apology. That's why He commissioned the church. Then I also want on my record that I preached the whole counsel of God. I didn't just Benny Hinn you. I told you the wages of sin is death. Told you that there's a dark side to not living right. Every day ain't going to be a happy day. But every day is going to be a joyful day. Happiness is something that we can muster up ourselves. You know, it don't take much to make us happy. But joy comes from God. And when joy, when you have joy, all hell can be breaking loose in your home and everywhere else. You just, I got joy. I know it's going to work out. Because God said, He promised. You know, I like holding God to His promises. I do. Lord, You promised. That means I got to hold up my end, too. Lord, have mercy. I preach the whole counsel of God. And listen, I love God above all. First commandment. Do you not know that everything hinges on the first commandment? Everything that you do, your whole life hinges on the first commandment. All the other commandments don't make sense unless the first one is done. I don't put God before my children. I mean, I don't put my children before God. I don't put anything before God. He is the preeminence. I'm His servant. And I worship Him. In spirit and in truth, He's number one in my life. When you make that proclamation and you make it plain and you make it real, everybody else around you will know it. They won't ask you to go play ball on Sunday. Amen. They won't ask you to go to the ball game on Sunday. They won't ask you to go over here. They won't ask you those things because they know God is first. Told my church not too long ago, if somebody texts you or calls you while you're in church, they don't care nothing about you nor your God. They know you're in church. Hey, what you doing? I'm in church. This is Sunday. This is the day we give our Lord honor and praise. Why are you calling me? That means they don't respect your God nor you. My phone don't buzz in church unless it's an emergency. I encourage everybody else. When you got folks calling you while service is going on, tell them, say, you don't respect my God. I'm telling you, we got to be bold in this time, y'all. It's rough. America's going to hell in a handbasket. We don't have no leadership. That's why we got to put God first. I don't care who's going to be in the White House. Know why? Because God is in control. I don't fall out with my fellow church members about, you know, who's going to be president. You know, that's a fight. Let me tell y'all something. That's a distraction. That's what the devil does. I've seen people folks just stop talking to each other in church because they made a Facebook post about their candidate. That's just like getting mad and splitting the church over the color of the carpet. Or the drapes. It don't make sense. The devil does that to us. You don't see the world arguing about who's going to be president. It's us. Think about it. Vote your heart. Amen. I love God. I love my family. I love my neighbor. I love my church. I love the Word of God. I loved everything that God gave me to love with all my heart and all my soul. But I put God first. God is first, my brothers and sisters. And then my family. Then my neighbor, my church. And I love the Word of God. Nothing can give you consolation like God's Word. Last and final thing. I lived and I walked and I worked by faith. Not always knowing what the end was going to be, not always knowing what the conclusion is going to be, not even knowing sometimes I leave home, not even knowing how the Lord's going to bring me back. You know, building this church in Hattiesburg has taught me about faith. There's nothing already laid out for me. I just go because God said to go. That's His business. I live by faith, believing that God is on the throne and will supply my every need that I ever have in my life. I even thank God for the bad times. I thank Him for the down times. Because I wouldn't know God was a deliverer if He never delivered me out of anything. I wouldn't know that God is a protector if He's never protected me. You know, some songs we get up and we sing, we just be lying. We really do. Because we never experienced it. You know what the theme is, you know what to say, but it's not, we never experienced it. You know, on some Sunday mornings, and I'm going to be through, when we have guests, and I tell my church this too, and we sing Amazing Grace. I said, now be careful. This song is for saved folk. If you're not saved, you're just making a mockery of yourself and God. Amazing Grace is for saved people. I once was lost, but now I'm found, blind, but now I see. That's for saved folk. That's a testimony. Amen. Everybody can't sing that. Oprah Winfrey said, that's one of my favorite songs. But do you know Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? My brothers and sisters, as I conclude, what do you have on your record? What has God written on high for you? Some of us are almost there to the point of where we're almost out of here. What have you done for the Lord? There was a guy that went to heaven. He died. And old Peter was there at the gates waiting on him. He said, come on in. Peter brought him on in. He walked down this long corridor. There was doors. Peter was walking in and he passed this first door. And he opened the second door and said, oh, this is that and this is this and this is that and all that. He said, hold on, Peter. Why you didn't open the first door? He said, you don't want to look in there. He said, yeah, I want to see. So Peter took him back and opened up. When he opened that door, just stuff just fell out. He said, what is this? He said, these are all unclaimed blessings of God's people that didn't live right and didn't live anything for Him. God has an overflowing room of blessings for you. But you got to put some good stuff on your record. Now, I did tell you I was greedy, right? I'm like the Apostle Paul. I want that crown of righteousness. Yeah, I want it. Y'all should want it too. And when I get it, I'm not saying if I'm going to get it, I say when I get it. I'm going to take it off. And I'm going to lay it at His feet. And I'm going to say, Lord, I ain't even worthy. Thank you for thinking about me. But this is yours. This don't belong to me. But I want it. What do you have in your wallet? Amen, amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You so much. Thank You for this word tonight. Thank You for this pastor who has encouraged me. I thank You, Lord, for that. I pray for this church. I pray for everyone that is here who has heard Your word, Lord. And I pray that You move on their hearts. Thank You for Your grace and thank You for Your mercy. It is in Your Son Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.